And they don't care if you know the facts that it is false. They just want to accuse them of being false. And they know it's the truth. So we see people that have turned the whole thing of good and evil around. The people that do good, they call them evil. The people that do evil, they call them good. And so we see how the times have changed. We're living in those times now. He said people will be unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers. We've had so many truce that has been broken until it's unreal. It's been unraveled and taken apart, and evil has taken the place. Not anything of substance, just evil talking and evil thinking has taken the place of things that was once a truce, once good things that was going on for the nation and for the country and for the church. Now it's thought of as evil. You know, and he said we'll have false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. We see that every day in our lives, in our homes, in the church. People don't like people that do good. They like people that's just a little bit shady like them. But if you're all good, they call you goody two shoes. And that means we don't quite like you. We don't quite like you because you're a little too good. I don't believe nobody's that good, they'll say. You know, people today will stand on the side of those that are evil. You know, that are evil. That don't do good. You know, people that are wrong, you know, before they'll follow somebody that's good. And saints, that's just not right. God is looking at this. God sees what we do. And he knows everything that we do. As God's church, we must learn to discern the times. We must not take sides with the world. Our place is to stay firmly planted, rooted and grounded in the Word of God. We serve God, not the world, and not the devil. Let's really be the church. Don't walk away from God. Let's walk toward God. And we will make it to the promised land. We'll make it to heaven. Heaven will be our home. Amen and amen.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Walk Fam broadcast with Evangelist Wanda Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wanda Bell. Or you can write us at Evangelist Wanda Bell or Spiritual Walk Fam Ministry at P.O. Box 5884.
But when we put it all together, this is what we like to call you, Jesus.
Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1. As we go deeper in the Word of God.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Daniel chapter 6, beginning at verse 25. Recorded are these words. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth. Peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to encourage somebody from the word of the Lord and say, schemes, lies, and schisms won't succeed. Say it with me, because you might have somebody on the side of you who needs to hear this. Say, schemes, lies, and schisms won't succeed. If you know the word of the Lord and believe it, give God some praise. I really didn't think on the offset of this message the title would enthuse folk who are subject to this title today, but hopefully you'll have a chance to change your mind when the text is over. Schemes. What are schemes? Schemes are plots and plans with an underhanded nature. Lies are the opposites of truth, and schisms are divisions brought about by factions. I want you to see in the text we have schemers, liars, and those who desire to bring schism among the people. I want you to see the text. Many of that may be new born again believers who don't know the whole story about Daniel and the lion's den situation. For just the purpose of your understanding, beginning at verse 1 in the 6th chapter, it would do you well to read that when you get home to really get some good understanding, meditating upon the word. But I want to lift out some principles. I want to lift out some jewels, some nuggets along the way to help you while you study. So if you have pen and paper to take down some notes, it'll bless your heart. Verse 1 says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom and 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. This King Darius decided that he would structure his kingdom and so lift it to a standard where there was delegated authority whereby he would be able to get an account of every sector of his kingdom at his own will. He put men in authority to rule over certain areas, and when he had a need to know what was going on in this part of the kingdom, he would call this governor or this prince or this president and say, tell me what's happening here, and a report would be made. What he wanted to do was to make sure that he strengthened the weakest link in his kingdom so that he would not suffer harm, because the issue of all being on one accord was dealt with. He put three presidents over all of the princes and the governors and the rulers of his kingdom, who would then make a corporate report, of which Daniel was the head. Now the Bible says, verse 3, then this Daniel was preferred above the president and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Verse 4 says, because here is where you get your first inclination from scripture of the schemes. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Notice they say it in verse 4 beginning, then the presidents and princes sought. Now they couldn't find anything, so since they couldn't find any fault or error, they commenced then to look in another area. And I've got news for you. When they couldn't find what they were looking for, they decided to create something. And you need to know, brothers and sisters, that's how the enemy works. When he can't find fault or error with you, if he can't get you one way, he'll try his best to get you another way. I want you to know something else, because here's what's important. Whenever you enter into a scheme, you cannot do a full-fledged scheme without telling lies. Verse 6 starts off then. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. Now here comes the lie in verse 7. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now let me pick out the portion again, and I shared it with you. They got together and they decided, they schemed, this was a part of the scheme, that they were going to lift the king up to an exalted position as a god among those in the kingdom. He was going to be the only one who could be prayed to or petitioned for 30 days. No matter what god you served for 30 days, King Darius was going to be the god that you would go to in prayer and in petition. And so he became so enlifted and engulfed in pride that he thought the men honored him that much, but they did not. Rather, he did not know that they were setting him up, not so much for him, but to get to the one that he had placed over them. And so when they set him up, he was lifted in pride, thinking that if he did this, it would again give glory and homage to him. But the final end was that it was all a scheme. So now they lied to him by telling him all the presidents. Well, if it was all the presidents, then that means Daniel was included in that. Daniel never would have agreed to that, because Daniel never put anything or anybody before the relationship he had with God. And they knew that, so they said, we're going to turn this from a civil issue to a religious issue, and that's the only way we could probably trap Daniel, because what they understood was something that we ought to understand. Whenever God prospers us, whenever God promotes us, whenever God blesses us, there are three things that come with those things. First of all, position comes with those things. And then we have prestige that comes with those things. And thirdly, we have power that comes with those things. But that's usually what everybody see when they want to be promoted and prospered and blessed. They see position. They see prestige. They see power. But what they don't see behind the position is the pressure. What they don't see behind the prestige is the problems. And what they don't see behind the power is the persecution. And you can't have persecution without persecutors. And listen at this, because Daniel knew this, because he had the position, the king gave it to him through divine order of God. He had prestige because the other presidents were jealous that he had been exalted to that point. But the king also, according to the word in verse 3, thought to put him over the whole realm, so he had power above all of the other presidents. And can I tell you, when you got it going on, you're going to have some folk who get jealous of you. When the Lord is blessing you, when the Lord is elevating you, when the Lord is exalting you, you're going to always have somebody who will try and pull you down, discredit you, do whatever they can. But I got news for anybody here today who don't understand that God is in control. And when God is in control, it doesn't matter about what man does. Because let me help you understand. When God elevates you, he lifts you up to a point that two things happen. One of two things, depending on where you are and how you see it. When he elevates you, he causes you to see more. But there is a flip side to that. When he elevates you, he also causes more to see you. Y'all gonna catch this just as soon as you. But what happens when you're elevated
again, you are in one of two positions. You either become a template, a pattern. You become a gauge for others to look and to measure, to try and become like you, or you become a target.
Y'all ain't getting this.
You see, people who want to be where God hadn't called them to be, you need to be careful, because with your position is going to come some pressure. And you're going to need to understand that everybody ain't going to be glad because the Lord is blessing you. You're going to find out there's some folk right around you who is not with you enough. You're going to find out everybody who smiles and talk about you, my boy, you my homie, you. I wish I had somebody. You're going to find out everybody who tries to give you the impression they're on your side is trying to sidetrack you. Sometimes everybody don't rejoice when God is with you. I wish I had a witness here today. They didn't rejoice with Daniel, but they tried their best to get in his position. I want you to see something else. Not only now has he become a target because he's been lifted up, but I want you to see something else here in the text. The Bible says, again, verse 7, all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Verse 8 says, now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, that was a legislative governing between the Medes and the Persians that said anything signed by the king was placed in an unalterable state. And so the reality was, when the king put his signet to it, whatever had been signed had become law and could not be changed. So they say, now, O king, put it in writing. See, after they got through winding them up, they couldn't do nothing until he put his signet on it. Now listen at this now. Verse 10 says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Now when the enemies and the wicked did all their plotting and their planning and their scheming and their lying, and even the schisms that were caught, Daniel didn't get caught up in that. Now here's a helpful hint for those who desire to be promoted and to be prospered and to be blessed. You got to stay out of mess. You let the devil do what he's doing. You keep your focus on the Lord and do what God. He never changed what he was doing. Why didn't he? Because he knew the answer was in God and not in man. Look at the text. The last portion of verse 10 says, as he did aforetime. What did he do? Before his God gave thanks and prayed. And he did it three times a day. Now, when he knew the writing was signed, he knew that it was his death warrant signed. He knew that he wasn't going to change his mind. He was going to prayer 9, 12, and 3 in his window facing the east, which faced the temple in Jerusalem, which was where the place of the presence of God was believed to be by the people of God. Though he was taken from Jerusalem in captivity, he still knew God heard his prayer. Even in Babylon, he could still talk to God and God would hear him. And so it was in that same place where those who would accuse him would find that he was faithful to his God. Look at what verse 11 says. Then these men, the same men that planned, that schemed, assembled and found Daniel doing what? Praying and making supplication before his God. Verse 12 says, then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast in the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the laws of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Now look at verse 14. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with whom? He was not displeased with Daniel, though they just accused Daniel of disrespecting him and dishonoring him and the law that he had signed. Listen at this. He didn't question Daniel's character. He was concerned about his own choices. Did you hear what I said? He didn't question Daniel's character. He was concerned about the choices he made. He recognized the problem that he was in was not because of Daniel, but because of the foolishness he allowed these folk to put him in, and he himself has realized he's just signed the death warrant to a good and faithful man. Look at what the word says now. The Bible says, verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, listen to what the king says, he will deliver thee. Now there's no question mark behind it, it's a statement, listen. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Verse 18, then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Now, I need you to see something here. I told you the king didn't question Daniel's character. He was concerned about his own choices. He couldn't sleep that night. Now, lend me your, if you don't mind, just lend me your sanctified imagination. Just put it on loan for a little while and work with me here. In the palace is the king. In the pit is Daniel. In the palace, the king is restless. In the pit, Daniel is resting. Walk with me. In the palace, Darius is reflecting. Why did I make such a foolish choice? Why did I let this thing happen? Why did I sign this decree? He's reflecting on what he has done. But then in the pit, Daniel is reflecting before he rests on, Lord, you've been with me before. I know you didn't bring me this far to leave me. Daniel is reflecting on all God led him to do, all God has led him to say, all of the things he and God has walked through. And so he's not worried about any of this because he stood before God in innocency and he did nothing to disrespect the king. And he knew he had been set up, but the only problem they didn't understand was that God had the last word. So when Daniel reflected, he went on and rested that night. But I want you to see something else. In the palace and in the pit, if you just trust God, there still will be some rejoicing. Look at the word, because I want you to see this word. Verse 19 says, then the king arose early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And lamentable means a weeping and sorrowful voice. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Verse 21 says, then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. Now, I got to tell you, the first time the king heard those words, O king, live forever, he was being set up. But the second time he hears the word, O king, live forever, he knew they were sincere. Because how many of you know that what comes from the heart reaches the heart? Listen at what the Bible says, verse 22. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. In other words, Daniel was saying, if you don't know me by now, somebody ought to hear me here, you will never. Listen. I told you there was restlessness in the palace and rest in the pit. I told you there was reflection in the palace and reflection in the pit. But I want you to see that there is rejoicing in Darius and rejoicing in Daniel. Now, just get the word. Verse 23 says, then was the king exceeding glad for him. I might as well tell you he was glad for himself. and commanded, listen now, that they should take Daniel up out of the den. Now that was no stipulation, listen, how long Daniel had to stay in the den. Just as long as he had stayed, had been placed in the den and stayed for a day or a night. The king, because he had already gone back, the Bible said he sought to see how he could deliver Daniel, and he had gotten with his lawyers and tried to find every loophole he could in the law to lawfully deliver Daniel, and when he couldn't, he committed him to the hand of his God. But what he did find out from his attorneys, I'm more than sure, was the fact that they said, now you got to put him in the den, king. But you ain't got to leave him in there but a day. Y'all gonna catch this, will you? How do I know that? Because they all conferred and they all plotted and schemed. But whenever you scheme and you plot, you usually overlook small details. Now listen at this now. Because they should have put in the contract that he has to stay in the den until the lions devour him. Y'all ain't hearing me. But all they said was that he would be cast into the den of lions. And listen at this. When the sun went down, that represented one day. But when the sun came up, that represented a new day. And that's why early in the morning, King Darius ran down to the lion's den and cried out for Daniel and asked, was his God able to deliver him? And Daniel said, oh, king, live forever. Those were the sweetest words he had heard coming from Daniel. Now notice here, because I want you to see, why do you say, Pastor, that schemes, lies, and schisms won't succeed? Well, I'm about to show you right in the text. Come on, follow me. Look at verse 23 again. Then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he what? Believed in his God. I got to tell you, when you believe in your God, God will do great exploits for you. Look at verse 24 now. And the king commanded. First thing he does is he commands Daniel to be taken out of the den. But he said, that's not where I stop at. I'm going to command another thing. That listen, and they brought those men which accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children, and them, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them and broke all of the bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. But what are you saying? I'm just trying to tell you, you better watch out if you're scheming, if you're lying, or if you're fooling with schism, because it won't succeed, because God has the last word. Now, if you get quiet here now, turn to your neighbor and say, are you scheming? Because there might be schemers sitting next to you. Ask them, are you lying? Come, don't get scared of them. Don't get scared. Come on. Are you participating in schism, division? Because it will not succeed. Oh, I wish I had somebody who knew the word of God here. Now, let me help you see something else. They were jealous of him because he had been elevated and exalted. But what I've got to tell you is, if man could take you down, if man could end your life, if man could cancel out your blessings, don't you know you wouldn't be here today? Thanks be to God that God has the last word. Now let me tell you something. If folk get mad because you're blessed right now, then they're going to not be able to stand it when they see you later. Because listen at this, God not only got rid of the scheme, but he got rid of the schemer. God not really just got rid of the lie, but he got rid of the liar. God didn't just get rid of the schism, he got rid of those who caused the division. What am I trying to tell you? I'm trying to tell you, he'll move your mountains. He'll pick you up. And every time he picks you up, he'll take you a little bit higher. Look at what the conclusion says, so this Daniel, the same one they lied on, so this Daniel.